I thank Will and Aiden for that wonderful prelude. Welcome to our Christmas Eve candlelight service. It's one of our most popular traditions, and we're glad that you are here. It's a fairly simple service. We'll sing the songs, and we'll read the scriptures, and we'll light the candles together. I'm glad you're here. Let us begin with prayer. Dear God, we're grateful for this day and what it means, and for the gift of your only begotten Son, whose birth we celebrate on this night and tomorrow and throughout this season. We are thankful to be able to gather together with other believers and to share this time. We know that there are some who would like to be here but are unable. We know that there are many people in our town, in our country, and around the world who are also celebrating this great gift. We ask your blessing upon them and upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand together and sing the first great carol of the evening, O Come All Ye Faithful?
Thank you.
The Advent wreath lighting scripture is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice who harvest grain. For you have broken the yoke that burdened them and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian long ago. The boots of the invading army and their blood-stained clothing will be destroyed by fire. A child is born to us. A son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty has determined to do all of this. We've been singing an Advent song. It's in your faith. We sing hymnal 2141, and there's a song of love in our heart, and it also has peace and hope and joy, but we decided that since tonight is candlelight service, we're going to put in a word that's not actually in the text. It's the word light. There's a song of light in our hearts.
I know it's not in the script, but annually, as chairman of the deacons, I get the opportunity to present our pastor with his Christmas card from the fellowship. So I'd like to do that now. Let me read a little bit from it. A church is blessed when they have a pastor who worships in spirit and truth, encourages with insightful words, and loves from a compassionate heart. So thankful for the ways that you shine God's light and love, may He refresh you with His peace, love, and joy in this wonderful season. Blessings at Christmas. So, in addition to the card, we got him a little gift of our appreciation. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if you know what it's like to be a minister, but there are those who just wing it, but I like to prepare and have everything figured out in advance, and every year this presentation is made, and every year I don't think of anything to say. But thank you. It is a pleasure and a delight to be the pastor of this church, and thank you for your generosity, not just tonight, but all year long. Our next great hymn is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Shall we stand?
Thank you.
It is our tradition to read the gospel story from Luke's gospel as a children's message. And so I will invite children to come forward at this time, and anyone who's a child at heart that would like to come. Make sure I don't trip, and then I don't. Pull anything down. The first thing we have to do tonight is to read from Luke chapter 2. The first 20 verses, and this is about when Jesus was born. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor in Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and line of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. The other thing we have to do is put the baby Jesus. I think both of you have done this before. Which is okay. Lucas, would you like to do it? No? Well, let's help each other. Stand up and let's go this way. Where do you think it should go? Can reach. Thank you. Christ is born. And Joy to the World is our next great hymn. Stand together. I greatly struggle with Christmas Eve reflections because it's the same with Easter. With the resurrection, it's very difficult to find words worthy of the occasion. Artistic representations, music, portraits, nativity scenes do a better job. The story is well known enough, of course, that after the reading of it, not much more needs saying. Even though there are some great theological ideas in it, like the virgin birth, the incarnation, the resurrection, I was going to say that, but I meant to say the forgiveness of sin. But this occasion doesn't seem the right time to explicate them or do an intense analysis because the story is just too down to earth for that. It comes from a different time. It doesn't have computers or cell phones in it, or automobiles, or airplanes, or ocean liners, or rocket ships, or any of those things. It's better suited to singing and lighting candles and just the simple sharing of time together, mostly with loved ones, but also with the scattering of others, whoever happens to be around, because after all, the gift is for everyone. I can't help but thinking about the World War I soldiers playing soccer with their enemies in no man's land on a Christmas Day truce. If you can play soccer with your enemies, during the middle of a war, you have come upon a magnificent occasion. This story has a journey by donkey, and shepherds and sheep. It has a feeding trough we call a manger, and swaddling clothes, whatever those are. It has a stable, because the inn was either too full or in it there was no suitable place for a birth. It has an angelic choir and a star, and these exotic magi who came from Persia, signifying that the gospel is for the Gentiles too, and for the exotic people. We are rightly and powerfully moved by both the tenderness and the strength in this story that comes through in the telling of the story of Christ's birth. And we are inspired by its dream of peace and goodwill among all the people. Peace and goodwill abound in this story, and in places like it, like a birth in a stable. But it seems to be lacking in other places. So that by and large we are forced to admit that it is yet an unrealized dream. But if you are like me, you come here tonight dreaming of it still, and hoping for it, and I suppose most importantly, believing in it. Tonight is the one night we are overwhelmed by the hope and the hopefulness of this story, so that we set aside all our anxiety for a little while. We set aside fear and suspicion, if there is any anger. We set it aside and we embrace one another in the love and the light that so fills up this night, this scene, this gospel story. Tonight, there is the great triumph of the divine breaking into the human. It's such a magnificent idea that one would have thought perhaps it would have come with greater fanfare. And as soon as I put that down, I said, well, it did come with great fanfare. There was an angelic choir. But only the shepherds seemed to be able to see it. And there was a star that somehow only the magi managed to notice. But this tender scene, with the stable and the manger and the child in it, we can all see. We can all notice. How can we fail to notice? It is love and sacrifice and mercy and justice and comfort and hope and joy and more besides, all rolled into one. And I've said enough. Merry Christmas. Till he appeared.
rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O
Lord.
Our second gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld His glory. Whenever I get to the point in the service where we're going to light the candles, I usually am thinking about the candles themselves and the way in which one candle light can turn into two. There's a little bit of a miracle there. And then four, and then 10, and then maybe 45 or 50, or however many candles you have, all from the one light. There seems to be a metaphor for the power of light shining in darkness that is very powerful. But this time, for some reason, I was also thinking about the primary purpose and meaning of light, which is that you can see in it. And when we say that Jesus is the light of the world, part of what that means is that we can see Jesus. And I'm thinking about all the pictures of Jesus that are probably in our minds because they're commonly known and we've read the stories over and over. The picture of Him preaching to His disciples and to the others that were there. The picture of Him feeding a multitude, healing the sick, raising the dead. But if there are three pictures that I think stand out above them all, those three pictures would be the empty tomb and the cross on which He died. And the third one would be, and maybe not in that order, His birth. Tonight we've gathered to shine the light on the picture of His birth in our minds. Let's share that light.